Following the implementation of the Remain in Mexico policy, migrants have been returned from El Paso, Texas, to the neighboring Mexican city of Juarez, where the humanitarian situation is worsening. Democratic El Paso City Councilman Peter Schwartzbein was in Newark recently for a conference. WBGO's Alexandra Hill spoke with Schwartzbein about what his community is facing.
Tell me, what's the political climate like there for you and for your constituents?
You know, I think that there's obviously a lot of, I think, some misconceptions about the border and about El Paso, where I'm from. You know, it's a city of 800,000 people that's part of a what we call a borderplex, a binational, the largest binational community in the hemisphere, in the Western Hemisphere. We have close to 1.5 million people in Ciudad Juarez, with another 800,000 in El Paso, and then between Las Cruces, it's almost 3 million people. And I think when people think of the border, there's some misconceptions. They think that there's one city all the way over here and another one all the way over on another side, and there's a separation. But to understand the relationship between El Paso and Juarez, the closest analogy I would have to your audience would be, imagine Brooklyn and Manhattan separated by an international boundary, and then you'll understand what El Paso and Juarez are. We have 5 ports of entry between our two cities. We have close to 80,000 people that cross between both cities every single day to go to work, to go to school. UTEP, our university, shout out to the Miners. About a third of it are Mexican national students that come and cross every single day to go to school at the university. We have professionals that come back and forth between both communities. And so we're a community that understands first and foremost that the border is an opportunity and that there's 1,000,001 reasons for crossing. Whether, no matter how rich or how poor you are, everybody has a different reason for wanting to cross. And music crosses, family crosses, business crosses, food crosses. And so that is our legacy. That is our cultural and economic DNA. And what we've seen over the last year is really management of the border with the ongoing asylum seeker issue and refugee issue. The federal government has chosen to take Border Patrol officers off of our ports of entry and using them to basically deal with processing these folks that are legally requiring asylum. You have people that have gone and waited on bridges and told to go back to Mexico with their numbers written on their arm. There's currently 10,000 refugees or asylum seekers waiting to go through their turn, where the federal government is metering or letting in 100 folks in a day. And then you have other people who are literally crossing the river, the Rio Grande, and giving themselves up, presenting themselves to Border Patrol when they see it. And in order to do that, they have to be on U.S. soil. So what happens is you don't have people crossing a border barrier or a wall. They just literally go up to the border barrier and wait till they get picked up by the Border Patrol. Obviously, we're talking about hundreds of people a day, and some days there's been 1,000. And that has put a lot of strain and stress on our community. But I would say that one of the things that we do have an abundance of is love and compassion in our community, and that's been shown through our faith-based community and through our city. The city of El Paso and their Office of Emergency Management, along with the county, has worked in lockstep with the Annunciation House, with faith-based groups and other nonprofits to make sure that no migrants are ever left wandering the streets, that they're able to find shelter and that they're able to connect with their sponsors after going through being processed through the Border Patrol and through ICE. But it hasn't been something that's easy. It's a sort of day in, day out sort of situation.
Is there anything that can be done through local policies and local government that can help the situation in your community?
So, you know, one of the situations that we've had, there's two, right? One is the federal response that we have a relatively limited amount to impact. For example, everybody, I'm sure, heard the stories about in Clint, Texas, which is about 30 minutes away from downtown El Paso, about the reports of, you know, kids taking care of kids, of toddlers being soiled, being sick. And that is a federal facility that the city, first of all, it's not in the city of El Paso, but that there's relatively limited things you can do from a policy or procedural level. With that said, the power that we do have is to shine light on this and to insist that it become better. What the city has taken an impact is in support with the nonprofit sector, right? With folks like the Annunciation House, helping to support that. At one point, probably about a month ago, or close to 30 shelters throughout El Paso, everything from a church to a rented hotel, you know, to rented hotel rooms. Recently, the Annunciation House opened up a mega shelter that could accommodate up to 1,500 people. The city worked with the Salvation Army to get donated cots and other nonprofit groups to help with showers and that sort of thing. We're using buses, city-owned buses, to help transport migrants after they have their bus tickets or airplane tickets, to transport them to the bus stop and that. But it's really been a community-based response. I've met people from across the country, actually folks from Philadelphia and New York, who have come to help and volunteer. I've met a group of progressive rabbis who were there to sort of bear witness, and other groups. But it, you know, we're not necessarily the, you know, we're a community with a lot of needs ourselves before all of this, but it's been remarkable to see us stand up.
Finally, what do you think is the solution here? Is there a solution? Is there anything the federal government can do? What policies would you like to see change that can actually, you know, help this crisis or put a stop to it, if you will?
So I think first, we need to have a solid and consistent plan to help to reengage and help to redevelop these Central American countries that we as a country have had a hand in destabilizing in the previous century. So that is something that we need to step up as a country, whether you want to call it a Marshall Plan for Central America. But the same way we helped to rebuild Europe after World War II, we need to go and invest in these communities. Because if not, this, you know, people are going to do what people are going to do, which is they're always going to look out for their children, for their families, and to pursue opportunity no matter how it is. Second is that we need to have a very frank discussion about what to do with Dreamers, with our immigration policy, and look at really ways to help to get people out of the shadows. An insecure population within our country brings insecurity.
Thank you so much for joining us.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
El Paso City Councilman Peter Schwartzbein.